tonight, the World Series is underway. And so I was preparing for the World Series by having a mock World Series.
Oh, yeah, you went inning by inning.
I got my little men out, and we went over the entire World Series. And it looks like the Astros are going to do very well.
Okay.
They are playing the Atlanta Braves. It's kind of the battle of great infields as both teams. The Braves, kind of the unlikely participant, but I don't really want to talk about any of that right now.
No.
I want to talk more about Houston.
Hatred?
Maybe.
I feel that this is killing Ranger fans. Like, the hardcore Ranger fan, it is absolutely destroying them.
Okay, is my non-hardcoreness showing here? Because I read the Texas Monthly story called Houston versus Everybody.
Yeah.
The Astros have faced every kind of taunt imaginable this year, and it has only brought the team and its city closer together. And of course, you hear that, and it's you know, playoff time cheerleading and all that sort of thing. But at the proverbial end of the day, you're allowed to hate Houston, of course.
Yeah.
But you also, I think, have to tip your cap a little bit to the most intense scrutiny, whatever that means, noise in your head, taunts on the road, although, last year was certainly not, with COVID, not necessarily turned up all the way. And maybe by the time it got here this year, maybe people didn't care as much because it was like 18 months old. But to lose your manager, your general manager, and frankly, kind of lose, according to most people in the sport, even the claims to the things that you had won involving a cheating scandal, that was a very serious thing. There's no question about it. But we're not here even to relitigate that. What I'm here to simply point out is what we enjoy in sports is an unflappable operation that goes about its business, controls what it can control, and just keeps mashing. And from that perspective, I kind of look at Houston and say, dang, that's some very, very impressive defiance.
I agree. I 100% agree with you, dude. Like, they've been to hell and back. And, yeah, they got busted, and, yeah, they were cheating.
They probably deserved it,
but guess
that little trip of theirs.
That was ridiculous, the way that they were cheating. But the art of sign stealing has been going on for so damn long, and the art of cheating in that game in general in one way or another has been going on forever. You're always looking to gain whatever kind of advantage. They just took it to level 11 with buzzers and trash cans and all that crap. They got caught, and Joe Buck was on this morning with the Musers. And he was talking about this, and he was like, look, if you think for one second that this was the only team that was doing this type of thing, you're wrong.
You are wrong.
Player movement, players move around. Everyone's aware of what's going on to some extent.
Yeah.
And so, one guy lives in Houston, he goes to another. He wait, we can do this.
Right.
We can make this work. I know how to do it. It was going on. Now, was it going on to the extent of what they were doing where it was like, a Hogan's Hero scam where they had everybody kind of snowed? Probably not, but it was going on. And it looked really bad, and people wanted their bowl of blood, and there was no way to get it because it was already over. Won the World Series.
Yeah, and maybe more importantly of all of it is when you are cheating, people say, well, that enhanced your performance. Let's see you do it without it, and then they do it without it.
Exactly. This is the great validator.
It really is.
I mean, and if they
now their end win up total down, fine.
So what?
But this is their fifth straight year of being in a Final Four. This is the third World Series. They've won one, they've lost one, and they have a chance to really lay their claim into the very, very difficult altitude of dynasty era with a couple more check marks. One being this very World Series.
Everybody wants the asterisks too, from the Ranger standpoint.
Sure.
And they want that to be there, and it goes away completely here in a week or however long this thing's going to take. It'll go away.
Now, there is, you know, here's the problem, of course. I remember this when the Marlins won in like 2003, is that Tom Hicks quickly said that, hey, the Marlins winning prove that you don't need a top, top payroll. And they kind of prove that there are anomalies and shortcuts, and maybe we can do it that way as opposed to the Yankees way or the Dodgers way or whatever.
It's a kiss of death around here.
Well, now you do have the people looking at their baseball almanac, and as a very important part of the Astros dynasty, if you will, is 3 years of 50 wins, between 50 and 56 wins, 51 and 56. 2011, 2012, 2013, right in the heart of the Rangers feeling good about themselves, going to the World Series, then getting Yu Darvish. Those were the Astros down there. Ironically enough, as I recall, their TV deal was horrendous. They couldn't even be seen in Houston, and we wondered if they would fall off the face of the earth. And instead, they built something that with those draft picks, it's Correa, it's Bregman, it's some of the, you know, Springer, who's now gone, but some of the key parts were all part of that. I mean, this is the most seamless recipe for a dynasty. Now, very difficult to duplicate, but if you wanted to simply start at bottoming out in 2011 and something that's still carrying on today, as many of those core players get to their 30th birthday and free agency, as Correa will be maybe the top free agent in all of baseball this offseason, it's all connected.
Oh, yeah.
And you have that, and I realize I'm supposed to hate it. And if I tune in, I promise I will. And, you know, I mean, all that stuff is still there. These are, Bregman in particular, these are unlikable guys to me, but only because they're on that team. If I have a chance to get Carlos Correa this winter, you're darn right I'm backing up the truck and saying he needs to be part of something up here, partly because you can take him from them and add him to yours, and that's not going to get you anywhere close to the Astros, but it's a nice step.
Yeah.
But, again, this is really not about anything other than me saying I realize we're supposed to hate them. I catch myself really admiring that and thinking to myself how differently I would feel about baseball if baseball locally made me care about baseball right now.
I hear what you're saying. I know. Look, Jose Altuve is my favorite player in the game that I pay very little attention to because the team here is so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, let's all be honest.
Altuve is an incredible story.
I absolutely love that guy. And I don't care what kind of buzzers he was wearing and don't touch my shirt as I'm rounding third base to home plate. I don't care. I don't care about any of that stuff. A dude that's 5'6" that can dominate a game like that. I mean, come on. How do you not like that guy? And he's a sweetheart of a dude, you know? I mean, that's the thing, is all these guys seem to be relatively likable, too. It's just the fact that they're 3 hours south of us or 4 hours south of us. We're supposed to hate them. They're in our division. And frankly,
and a scandal.
And a scandal, and they've dwarfed whatever this club did over their five-year run. That's all you get. You know, unless you're a weird Yankee 20-year run or whatever, you get about 5 years in this thing, you know, and then you reload and you start over, and maybe you're good again in 3 or 4 years. They've been good for a long, long time, and you know, this may be it. I don't know, but I mean, if they can cap it off, this is all you would care about. If you're a fan of that team, you've got two World Series in 5 years, and you can die happy no matter what happens the rest of time. You know, the Mark Elfenbeins who have the ride or die with the Astros. Mark's hardcore into him. I'm happy for him. Good for them.
And Dusty Baker, who has been around it time and time and time again, has not won the big one. That could all happen here as well.
The only thing that I think that people around here would feel very good about is Wash getting his.
Yeah, no doubt.
And if Wash, and I heard Wash on this morning with Donnie and
Norm.
Wasn't
that cool?
Yeah, he was great. And that would be awesome. So, you know, and I'm sure that'll be a big selling point from the broadcast, too. And
yeah, I bet locally everybody wants Wash to win.
Yeah, for sure.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.